In John chapter 4, we see Jesus purposely traveling to the city of Samaria near the place that Jacob's well was located. Jesus was very tired from his journey and sat down to rest. There came a woman from the city of Samaria to get water from the well. Jesus, therefore, asked the woman for a drink of water. The woman noticed right away that Jesus was Jewish, and Jews did not have anything to do with Samaritan people. And she was very surprised that this stranger, who she knew was a Jew, would speak to her, who was a Samaritan. Now, this may seem a little strange to people of today, especially in the United States and the free world, where we generally believe that we have a right to speak to anybody and everybody is the same. Of course, there's always exceptions to that. However, in the past and in many parts of the world today, there's much prejudice and even hatred against those who are different than the mainstream in that area. Now, Jesus was different. He doesn't go by our rules. He doesn't know the word hate. He went purposely to this place to give the gift of living water or eternal life to this one lone woman. The Jews in that day didn't associate with Samaritans. The woman asked Jesus why he would ask a drink of her who was a Samaritan. Now, Jesus bypassed that issue entirely because he didn't come to that place to crusade for Jewish-Samaritan relationships. He came to save the lost. This is an issue in today's church need to return to. We can get into civil rights, politics, saving the environment, and other social issues so deep that individual salvation of souls takes a back seat, and that's a shame. People are lost. They're separated from God. Their sin is separating them from God. They need to be saved in order to enter into eternal life. They need to receive this living water that Jesus is talking about that gives them entrance into eternal life. This stuff is for real that I'm talking about. We can get so concerned with trying to make our lives in this present world better and make and live for this life only that we forget the eternal soul and the things of the Spirit. But if we can get people to walk in love and be filled with God's Spirit, the social issues will take care of itself in time. And there is a place for speaking of those issues. But the eternal soul is the most important. Individual salvation. Now, eternal life would mean at the point of our natural death, our soul would leave the body and go to be with the Lord to await the resurrection of the body. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This living water was not literal water that would cause one never to suffer a natural thirst if we didn't drink water, but this living water referred to that which comes into us by the Holy Spirit of God when we believe in Jesus Christ. People are lost, like I said before. They need to be saved and receive this living water, which will give them entrance into eternal life. We need this, every one of us do, without exception. Jesus said also in John 14 that if a man love me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now just imagine that for a minute. If we love him, we will keep his words. The Father in heaven will love us and come and abide within us. The Father and the Son of God abide with us or within any believer by the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is speaking of when he talks of living water. This is another way of saying that we must be born again by God's Spirit to be saved. This living water is a well springing up within us that changes our entire life and makes us a new person. To receive this living water, we first believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Messiah, the Christ that was to come and save the world. Then we believe his words. This opens the door and will allow him into our lives. As we do this, our sins are washed away. All things become new, and we are born again by God's Spirit. We are not merely accepting a religion we call Christianity. This is not another religion. This is cleansing, washing, renewing, and the saving of our soul. The woman then asked Jesus how he could give her this living water when he had nothing to draw water with. He had no bucket or pail in which to get water from the well. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone that drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." The woman right away wanted this living water and proceeded to ask him for this living water. Then Jesus seems to change the subject. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come all the way here to draw water again." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back here." The woman answered and said to him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, you have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and he who you now have is not your husband. You have said this truly." Jesus was wanting to give this woman the living water that would save her soul. But he had to get rid of her sin first. Sin is what separates us from God. When Adam disobeyed the word of God in the beginning of creation, he allowed both physical death and eternal separation from God to result and come upon all mankind. Now all of us are born with a natural instinct to sin. That sin makes us separate from a holy God. To reverse this awful curse that came upon mankind, a just, perfect man had to suffer the penalty of death without having sinned himself. The Bible says, "The soul that sins shall die." That means to die physically first, then have the soul enter eternity in a place for departed spirits that do not know God. That place is called hell. The spirit and soul of all of us does not go out of existence. It will be somewhere, either in heaven or hell. The soul is part of us that needs to be saved. By man, sin entered the world, so only a man can reverse that curse. But the sad thing is, we are all born with this tendency to sin that we inherited from Adam. There is no way a natural-born man can live his entire life without once committing a sin. Sin is transgression of the law of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have become separated from a holy God. This is why God sent his own divine eternal Son to become flesh. Jesus came into human flesh, was born into the world by way of a virgin that had never known man. The Holy Spirit placed the seed within Mary, and the one born of her was God, but also man, God in the flesh, or God with us. No natural man could be the Savior, because he would sin sooner or later. It had to be God, but it also had to be flesh and blood man. Jesus lived his entire life without breaking the law of God even one time. He did not sin. When Jesus was crucified as a criminal, he allowed himself to suffer death, paying the penalty for sin that he didn't commit. Since he was innocent of any sin, the penalty he paid can be transferred to us who believe in him. He paid the penalty for us who would believe. Now we still have to suffer a temporary natural death if we die before the coming of the Lord, that is. But the minute we believe in him, we are reconciled back to God and are no longer separated from God. But how can this be? Before we believe, sin is separating us from God. The penalty for sin is death. When Jesus died on the cross, he shed blood. This blood is what cleanses us from sin. When we believe in Him, we are in reality repenting of sin or turning away from sin. His blood is applied to us and covers our sin. When the sin is cleansed, we are then brought back into a right relationship with our Creator. Then and only then can we have that living water. Then and only then can we be born again by the Spirit of God. This is why Jesus asked the woman about her husband and how she was living. He wanted to point out her sin so that she could come to repentance and be changed. She then would receive immediately the living water she was asking for. The woman at first tried to change the subject, like a lot of us do, because we don't want to talk about personal things like our soul or our sin. She changed the subject to when and where they should worship God. But Jesus began speaking to her about worship, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Instead of worrying about the place or religious rituals, this new and living way involves worshiping in spirit and in truth. It would seem as if the woman believed what she was hearing. She immediately went to the city to proclaim the good news to others. This story can be found in John chapter 4. It's God's will for all to be saved. We do not have to die in our sins. Without Jesus, we will die in our sins. John 8:24 said, the words of Jesus, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." When Jesus said that, if they did not believe I am He meant that they must believe that He was the Christ or the Savior that God sent to save from sin. Jesus saves us from our sin, not in our sin. We are not to go in sin. We are to go in sin no more. We are cleansed from sin, not cleansed to go back into sin again. The Holy Spirit, living water, and also the cleansing that comes by the reading of God's Word will help us get victory over sin, over future temptations that Satan will try to get us to return to sin and ruin our testimony before the world. This is all ours by simple childlike faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of our lives. We first receive forgiveness of sin, then cleansing from sin, then the new birth or the living water by the Spirit of God. We're reconciled back into the fellowship of God. God is now with us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are then sanctified or set apart for the service of God. Sanctification will help us overcome the desires of the flesh and of the world. We become separate from the world and we begin to walk in the Spirit of God. We're baptized. We can then be baptized complete. That means completely immersed by the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about water baptism, but I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life, then, is ours after we receive these things. It brings eternal life. And this happens when, at natural death, our soul leaves our body and we go to be with the Lord. And then we await the resurrection. On the resurrection, we receive new bodies that can never die. And we enter into eternity. And that goes on and on. Just like God, we will be with Him forever. See, God doesn't want us to perish in hell. Salvation is just the beginning, though. It's just the beginning of many spiritual blessings from God. Yes, we're saved from sin and granted this living water that springs up within our souls. The minute we're saved, the living water comes in. The Holy Spirit comes into our life the minute we're saved. But there is more and more. As we study God's Word and continually seek His face, we lose our desire for the world. That's what we call sanctification. Just losing our desire for the world and things we once desired. Now, this may not happen all at once with everybody. Some of us take more time than others. But the joy of our salvation can be with us continually. As we begin to seek God, the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God into our innermost being. Now Satan will try to rob us of this. But we must be steadfast and continually seek to be filled with the Spirit. so that we do not give in to temptation and return to sin or allow roots of bitterness or return into unbelief like we was before. We do not want to go back to the things that Jesus saved us from. We must always seek to be filled with the Spirit. There is always a continuous supply of the Holy Spirit, for it's like a spring or well of living water to fill and refill us over and over again. If we read the book of Acts, we'll see where the apostles were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit more than one time. The Holy Spirit was always with them, but they continually to be refilled and filled and refilled, and what we call stirring up the gifts. If you have made a commitment at this time and have received this gift of salvation, begin to pray. Begin to study the Word of God and find out more about this wonderful Savior. And stay with the Lord forever. Not turning back, not looking back. The living water is ours. It's God's will for us to have. God wants us to make it. He wants you to make it. He wants me to make it. Peter said, it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ.